Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn.com is the world's first online platform for online sales and auctions of farm animals. That's BuyerBarn.com. Don't forget to follow Ask for Football on all social media platforms or sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
Welcome back to the As for Football Army Football Show. I am your guest host today, Dano E. Cabeza. It's probably a mistake for me to guest host this. I can already tell, but here we are. If you told me that Army was going to beat UTSA on the road, I would have assumed that we would get off to a 3-0 start. Unfortunately, that did not happen, but the new offense still looks legit. The Black Knights have extended their head coach, Jeff Monken, through 2027, and at least for right now, all is right in the world. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, man. I mean... exciting game this weekend coming up against Syracuse. I think based off of the offensive performance last week, I think it makes everyone hopeful. It makes me hopeful. But I think the other part of it is my fear this season is that the team may start playing upwards or downwards in accordance with their competition. And usually when that happens, that makes me a little bit nervous watching the season as a whole. But so far, so good.
Hey, listen, if they play up to the competition this week, I'll just roll with it. James?
Yeah, people say that all the time. They used to say that a lot more, right? They would say Army plays to their competition. I don't know that that was the case when we were running the flex bone. We just played we ran an offense that made the game close, and we thought that Absolutely. We would execute more than the other team given limited – limited chances. So if you want to call that playing up to the competition, go or playing down, go ahead. But week one, we didn't execute and we lost the game. Since then, we've been executing. And so if we keep executing, we can keep winning games, even if we're outmatched. So I like to see that back for the first time in a while at Army.
Sounds good to me. Like I said, I like it. So anyway, as always, I am Dan here in Coastal Connecticut, joined by Rob in Vietnam, North Carolina. And we've got James in Parts Unknown, although I think you're still in Oklahoma City. But if you're not, don't even tell us. We'll just assume that you are. Look at that smile. Rob, you want to tell us about Buyer Barn?
Yeah, so we have a sponsor here at Ask for Football. It's BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn.com was co-founded by the class of 97 graduate Dan Robinson. Dan ran a traditional farm co-op and animal auction for many, many years, and he decided that there was a way to bring it into the 21st century. He and his co-founder Dino took their experience in IT management and development and built the world's first farm-to-farm online auction and sales platform. Buyer Barn provides reduced health issues through reducing overall animal and owner contact, reduced animal fraud through a buyer and raider selling system, fully integrated auction platform with secure payments, convenience to buy and sell on your own time, better market pricing because of a wider audience. Buyer Barn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and are providing a special discount to military veterans who want to assist them in the small family farm revolution. Go to buyerbarn.com or email them at info@buyerbarn.com. Or you can always go to the Ask for Football website, look for the tab on the side, click on it, and you can find out all the information that you need. Dan is still interested in providing a goat for Army Navy. Now we just got to find a spot to cook the doggone thing. Back to you, Dan.
So as we were discussing
before. I don't know why you keep...
Go ahead.
I don't know why we keep talking about Oklahoma City, but I'm very clearly behind home plate at Doubleday Field.
This being a football podcast, obviously you are on the baseball diamond. So yes, as we were talking about before the show, Army beat UTSA in kind of a wild shootout, 39-27. Game got crazy. Offense was awesome. Army ran 88 offensive plays in this game, 65 rushes for 254 yards, just under 4 yards per carry. They went 8 of 18 passing for 188 yards, but really that was an 0-5 start, then 12 of 18 passing through the air. Plus they made 3 field goals and they punted twice. Army went 8 of 20 on third down, but an outstanding 6 of 6 on fourth down. So, you know, really they were converting 14 of 20 opportunities. They held the ball for 44-25. I am not sure what the record is for time of possession in the Monken era, but it has got to be close. Running back Hayden Reed led all rushers with 20 carries for 107 yards and one touchdown. That dude looks awesome in this offense. Quarterback Bryson Daly added 24 carries for 100 yards and a touchdown. He also threw a touchdown, which was awesome. Jacoby Buchanan, 8 carries, 30 yards, one touchdown. He was mowing people over. Markell Johnson, 6 carries for 14 yards. Plus, he had that halfback double pass for 55 yards to Isaiah Alston. Plus, he also had 2 catches for 41 yards. Noah Short had 3 catches for 68 yards and a touchdown. Alston finished with 2 catches for 68 yards. All in, 7 different players ran the ball. 4 different receivers caught passes. For a triple option team, that ain't bad, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, offensively, I think now, we talked about it before, you know, hey, identifying the weapons and using them. Like, when you have that many people touching the ball, who do you scheme against if you're a defensive coordinator?
Well, it seems like they schemed down against Isaiah Alston because he only had 2 catches. Noah Short broke free for, you know, 3 catches and a touchdown. He was all alone.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, as one guy gets covered, everybody else continues to produce. I mean, this is the exact offense that we needed to go to. You know, we were starting to see it play out in real time because when you think about it, you have 7 players touching the ball. That's 7 different options at a time. So if you have, you know, a tight end, 3 receivers, and a running back, you know, and the quarterback, that's 6 options at any point in the game, depending upon formation, that can touch the ball. So you have 6 opportunities to interact with the football, and it creates a defensive conundrum because, like, if I'm a linebacker, what position do I really need to play? Am I looking for the pitch? Am I trying to stop the fullback dive? Oh, crap, the fullback didn't get it. Here comes the quarterback on a lead. I just ran into an ISO play. You know, so there's a lot of different layers to the offense now that I'm glad that we're starting to get to see, and I'm really happy that coach is confident, you know, opening up the playbook and letting, you know, Daly run the offense.
Absolutely. James, you're the offensive guru.
I wouldn't call it that, but no, 2 things really impressed me. Number one was the 6 for 6 on fourth down. They're now 10 of 10 to start the year. In addition, there was a fourth down where we got a penalty, a PI called on the defense. It was a really nice back shoulder fade. So you could really call it 7-7 on fourth down this game. That was really, really impressive just to see the execution when you needed it so consistently. Now, when we did our little halftime show on Twitter, what I said was I was a little nervous because we had touchdown, and then our next 2 drives were field goals.
Yeah.
And it was kind of concerning because it seemed like they weren't getting that finishing strike. And then at the, going into the second half, they kick another field goal, give UTSA a touchdown. Now you're up 2 points and you haven't scored a touchdown since the first quarter, but credit to those guys. They came back, 2 of the next 3 drives were touchdowns and they sealed it. So, you know, that was great to see. They were able to turn that around and they weren't just stuck once UTSA solved their initial attack.
So defensively, we'll talk about whether this defense was a great game, a good game, or an okay game in just a minute. But the Army defense kind of struggled with big plays in this game, and definitely with UTSA's overall team speed and athleticism. They gave up 22 carries for 121 yards, which is an average of 5.5 yards per carry. It's not actually as bad as it sounds when you consider that UTSA put up long runs of 12, 19, and 20 yards from each of its top 3 running backs. The Roadrunners never established offensive consistency despite, you know, gashing Army repeatedly on the ground. Similar story in the passing game, 239 yards passing, which sounds like okay, right? But that comes on mostly 3 long passing plays of 84, 77, and 46 yards, all of which went for touchdowns. But then you average that back out and it's less than 9 yards per passing play, which is less than what Army had, which is nuts because Army's not even throwing down the field the same way they used to. So bottom line, UTSA was entirely boom or bust in this game. They hit a ton of downfield passing plays. Essentially, if somebody missed a tackle or made a mistake, Army was screwed and it was going for a touchdown. But they went just 4 of 10 on third down, just 1 of 2 on fourth down, wound up punting 4 times, which is twice more than Army punted. Defense got 2 huge plays in this game. Safety Quindrell and Hammonds forced a fumble on running back Kavorian Barnes to start UTSA's first drive, after which the Roadrunners coaching staff immediately lost faith in Barnes, and he all but disappeared from the game for half an hour. And linebacker Jackson Powell sacked UTSA quarterback Eddie Lee Marburger on 3rd and 7 with 3:30 left to play. UTSA punted. They never got the ball back. So if you're getting gashed like that, right, is that good? Is this good defense or is this bad defense, Rob? You're our defensive guru.
Yeah, from a defensive perspective, you know, all coaches want to shut out. You did not get that, right? Yeah. That's the first part of it. But the other part of it is can you make plays when you need to make plays? And I think, yes, the defense got off the field. I mean, if you look at the third down stat, you know, they were able to get off the field. They were 4-10 on third down. So there were 6, you know, continuances where they didn't, well, 5 if you count the fourth down conversion. So they're 50% on getting first downs. So that's a good stat for a defense. The problem is, like you said, when those guys got open, they got open and they were able to break loose in space. And like, even most of the time, there weren't even angles for any of the Army defenders to kind of try and attempt to cut these guys off, you know. And I think there's a couple missed tackles where like the linebackers kind of got frozen in the hole. And every coach knows that, like, if you're a linebacker and your feet stop moving and there's a running back coming at you, 9 times out of 10, you're going to miss, you know. So it's a fundamental thing. And I think it was just, you know, maybe the pressure of the moment or just a bad angle. But
a really fast big kid coming right at you, and it's like, oh crap, let me turn.
Yeah,
there you go.
You know, and you know, but general rule of thumb is like, if you see a linebacker or a defensive player, they get flat footed, and the running back is still moving and juking, like, more than likely the back is going to win that exchange most of the time. And that's just a small, you know, small fundamental thing. You know, I legitimately think that the defense played well. I think they've played better than in, you know, some of the other games. I mean, look at what they did to Delaware State. That's a shutout. I think, you know, back-to-back shutouts in 2 week period is a stretch for any team in college football. However, you know, 239 yards passing is pretty bad, you know, just overall as a stat, particularly when you had 3 touchdown receptions on it. However, you know, given the way that the rest of the game went, they got off the field, they got the ball back into the hands of the offense, the special teams was able to make points off of it. So all in all, it was collaborative football. You know, it was mutually supporting.
Yeah, right.
However, you know, you're going to have a breakdown every now and then. And I think part of it is like, it's the balance, right? Army had the ball for 88 plays. So, like, as a defensive player, you're probably going to get cold when you only played 40 plays against the defense. Like, that's like day one reps on Monday. You know, you're probably not going to get that many reps. And so I can understand the occasional breakdown. But, you know, that Hail Mary at the end of the quarter, you know, you're taking on a guy that's way bigger and taller. Like, somebody could have knocked that away or not knocked that away or taken a pass interference
call. It was a great play, though, right? Like, yeah, he's a great receiver making a great play.
I mean, at that point, you know, what can you do and what can you say? Short of taking a penalty and giving them an untimed down, which probably could have ended up in the same way, and then you just got a penalty on top of you. You know what I mean? So it's just – it's one of those things that, you know, the defensive stats are okay. Yardage, I think anybody that looks at that number is going to be like, oof, that's not good, you know. But at the end of the day, if you watch the ebb and flow of the game, the defense stepped up when they needed to. They caused a fumble. They got a stack in the waning moments of the game and closed it out, you know. Yeah. So if you get the ball back into the hands of your offense, especially as much clock as Army was chewing up in that game, bottom line is, you know, the defense played complimentary football, and that's really all that you can ask them to do. You know, yes, we all want shutouts. Like, I want, you know, basketball scores with safeties all the time. Not going to happen, particularly against a team as talented as UTSA. They got some talented ball players, man. Like, like, there's no doubt that their offense was pressing hard because they knew that they weren't going to get the ball back. And, you know, they got some breaks. And then again, there was other times that they didn't. So I think the defense looked really good. I would, you know, everybody wants a better performance. The coaches are going to want a better performance. And I can assure you the players want a better performance, but that's just not the way that it went down.
James?
Yeah. So look, if you look at the whole scheme of the season, right? ULM defense gets a lot of crap. I don't know why. Right, they gave up fewer points to ULM than they did last year on a completely, you know, new roster. So why are they held ULM to 3 points throughout 3 quarters of that game? They give up a touchdown on a short field and they give up 1 long play. That's a great defensive performance. They get the shutout against an FCS goal. Okay, we'll skip that. And then we go to UTSA. There are 3 plays that were bad where they gave up, you know, a big chunk play touchdown, right? Outside, what's their yardage if you don't have those three plays? It's got to be under 150, right?
Oh, yeah,
so
for sure.
Three miscues, right? One of them is at the end of the half. By the way, definitely take PI on that. If that's ever a question, in the college game, like, tackle the guy if you have to. Give him 15 yards because it's not a spot penalty in college. They're at your 46-yard line. Worst case scenario, they're at your 31, and they try kicking a super long field goal, and you give up 3 points instead of seven. Like, chances are they miss that anyway. So yeah, definitely take the PI on that if you don't know that ball is going to be defended for sure. And again, like you said, like Coach Munkin said in the post game presser, right? It's a great player making a great play. You know, yeah, it happens every once in a while, and I'm sure it won't happen again because it'll get cleaned up, right?
Well, listen, so, I mean, he's,
so you take away
the
that
kid is a
play.
Monster, and he caught a great ball. There's, you know, we got a comment here. Enemy always gets a vote, right? UTSA is explosive, but the D made plays where they could. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. The only thing that really disturbed. Go ahead.
I would say if you take away that one Hail Mary, there have been three plays all year that have been miscues. Like,
yeah,
that's not bad. One play a game is not bad at all.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And
the only problem that I really had with the UTSA's offense was the quarterback's name. He sounds like a serial killer, like Eddie Lee Marburger. That guy should be like,
I thought of
Netflix,
too.
You know, Netflix documentary. Because I seriously think
you're going by three names. That's just a bad deal.
yeah, it's a recipe for disaster, guys. But
so Greg says, if we can consistently get three and outs or stops in general, we're winning the field position battle and the time of possession game. I am generally pleased. I'd like them to come out more intense and make hits like we know that they can. I don't know that they were going to make those hits this week, honestly. I don't mind aggressive mistakes, but agree that they can't get caught flat-footed. So yeah, there you go. All right, so let's go into the good, the bad, and the ugly. I guess I will take the good. There's a lot of good in this game. There were no turnovers, there were no penalties, there were no sacks allowed. Maybe that's because Army's O-line was dominant. They dominated this game. ESPN highlighted tight end David Crossan absolutely demolishing UTSA linebackers. They ran behind him a lot in this game. Bryson Daly made good read in the options, looked good throwing the ball once he settled down. I don't need to see the first play from scrimmage be a screen pass again. Like, he's missed that twice in a row now, and just let my man run until he's ready. Everybody hit the hole moving forward was just something that I noticed during the game. Like, they didn't wait until the ball was in their hands to start moving. At the snap, everybody was moving forward. So when they hit the line of scrimmage, they hit it hard, which is probably why Jacoby Buchanan looks like he suddenly found his role in this offense, right? They ran the trick play. They actually got it. I don't know when the last time we saw that from Army was, but it was awesome. Big plays and big spots from the defense. We talked about that. And we hit three field goal attempts. Like, actually needed every one of those points. Rob, you want to take the bad?
Yeah, the bad. So still giving up too many big plays in the running game. I agree with that. You know, the Black Knights had a bunch of missed tackles, especially early. UTSA scored on long run up the middle, a simple screen pass. And as noted, you know, Daly started off at 0-5 passing. They looked way better once he, you know, got warmed up and got into the flow of the game. And I think that's probably the recipe for success. You know, get him going and then let him make decisions. Like, I was super impressed, you know, for a guy basically in his third start against the FCS school, the decision making that he had was, you know, top notch, particularly given, you know, the opponent that they had, because UTSA has a pretty stingy run defense. Like, everybody was talking about that was going to be strength on strength. You know, can Army run against these guys? And actually we're able to. And moving on to the ugly, who's taking that
James
one?
James, I have set you up as the villain. James? We have lost. Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost James. All right. I will read James. I will read the ugly.
I was muted.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Just incompetence, not gone.
Like I said, I set you up to be the villain.
Yeah. Only thing we had was the Hail Mary pass. We've beat that dead horse enough. But yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
Anything to add to this game before we sort of move on?
Yeah, the only thing that I'll say is it was an exciting game to watch, I think. Like, if I was a casual fan and I turned on, you know, UTSA and Army just to see what it was about, Like, I enjoyed watching that football game. If I wasn't a fan of either team, I think they would have enjoyed it.
Yeah. James.
Yeah. Last thing. I think that we can credit Jacoby Buchanan's success a little bit too with the play calling. It wasn't this sort of benign every time Buchanan's in the game. It's going between the tackles, really going between the guards, and and it's just every time the same play, right? You know, he actually uses a decoy. He I think he had one run to the outside, so you know we used him in a few different ways, which was nice.
So we got two comments. Greg says the O-line was the difference in this game. I absolutely agree with that. They need to come out like that every week. You know, usually once they get that dialed in, it will stay dialed in, but we'll see because they're playing a good team this week. And then one more comment. The UTSA crowd, quote, low football IQ fans. They also booed the cadets and didn't even acknowledge Army during the military appreciation segment. So I don't know, man.
They're new to college football. They started college football in what, 2010?
You know what? I would honestly rather treat it like it's a football game and like these cadets are athletes while they're on the field. They can be cadets and officers. There's plenty of time for that. While they're on the football field, let's let them be football players. The thing that I will add is that UTSA had a ton of injuries in this game, especially on defense, and that they lost their best linebacker in Trey Moore. And I thought that their defense looked like boo-boo after he went out. But if you let the other team play 88 snaps on defense, I'm not sure what you think is going to happen. So we'll close out with a little fact or fiction review. I said this was going to be a close game and that Army covers. I also gave my credit as a fact. Is that one a fact or fiction?
I had to look. That's a fact.
We'll
give it that one.
All right. Rob, you said two TD passes from Army. That was fiction. We still haven't got that. Did we get two TD passes last week or against Delaware State?
No.
I can't remember. I don't think that one's hit yet. James, I don't remember what you said last week on Fact or Fiction.
I wasn't on the show last week.
Well, then there you go. And Jordan said we had 150 yards rushing, which was like a layup. Everybody said fact there. Oh, no, I said fiction. Jeez, what a that's terrible.
Yeah, you're a naysayer, Dan. Shame on you.
I know. Shame on me. Like I said, it was going to be a disaster when I decided to host the show. So, friends, if you didn't know this, Craig Oxane is a sponsor of this fine football podcast. He is also the vice president of residential lending for Draper and Kramer in Chicago. That means he helps you get a mortgage if you're buying a house, friends. He is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based in Chicago. He is one of the biggest VA lenders in the country. He's actually a specialist at lending to military veterans. Offers super competitive rates. He's going to give you the best deal that he possibly can. I don't know if you guys have bought a house. Girls have bought a house, but this mortgage process is confusing, right? They interest rates are moving all over the place. You're trying to figure out if you're going to lock something in or what the deal is. And then when you go to sign the paperwork, it's like 2 inches thick paperwork to sign. And it's unbelievable. You want to go with somebody that you can actually trust, not, you know, some website, big box bank, call center, you know, www.getamortgagefromchina.com. Like, this is not what you want. Go with Craig Oxane. He is a West Point graduate. He is a real person, right? And this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're helping you, trying to help you, get the best deal on a mortgage that we can by introducing you to the guy you need to meet. Plus, he doesn't charge a lender's fees from veterans. That's like $1,300. If you don't need $1,300, send it to us because we do. This podcast is not cheap. We've invested quite a bit this year keeping this thing on the air. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for Draper and Kramer. Check him out. Link's on our website. Just go to askforfootball.com. Click the little link. His little picture's on there. Fill out a little questionnaire, and you will be talking to him in just a little while. Rob, you want to take us through this Syracuse preview?
Certainly. So Syracuse preview. Hey, that was a great win, but it definitely does not get any easier from here. This week, we move to another dome, but the dome is now in Syracuse, and the orange of the New York State rivalry game is going to be happening. Syracuse is off to a 3-0 start. They beat Colgate 65-0, beat Western Michigan 48-7, won at Purdue 35-20. ESPN's Bill Connelly currently has Syracuse ranked 35th in the S&P Plus. Not that that matters. I don't care about that number anyway. Anyway, offense, there's a power running attack based off of the read option. Quarterback Garrett Schrader, he's 51 for 82 with 727 yards. He's got 5 TDs against 2 INTs and 5 sacks. He also leads the team in rushing with 36 carries, 266 yards, and 5 TDs on the ground. So seriously, Schrader just basically took over the game against Purdue and basically run it. He put it on his back.
Yeah, he ran all over them.
Wild. He put it on his back and basically wrapped it up for him. Running back LaQuinton Allen had 41 carries and 207 yards. That's 5 yards per carry and 5 TDs. This team has a bunch of talented wide receivers. 5 different guys have at least 8 catches. Freshman Donovan Brown leads the team. He has 12 catches with 206 yards and a touchdown. They just lost their star tight end, Andre Gadsden, for the season due to injury, and no one is concerned about it because they got enough targets on the team to keep throwing the ball.
I'll go from here. I'll take over. Give you a break. It's another strong running defense. They are 14th in the nation, which is right about where UTSA was heading into the last game. They're giving up 77 yards per game, 2.4 yards per carry. If that sounds familiar, it's similar to what we saw last week. They've allowed just 3 rushing touchdowns this season, which is insane. This defense also gives up less than 200 yards passing per game, which is not something that we would have seen last week. Linebacker Marlo Wax, my man, 21 tackles, 14 solo, 2 sacks, 1 pass defensed, 2 forced fumbles. Safety Isaiah Johnson, 19 tackles, 11 solo, 2 passes defensed, 1 forced fumble. And then finally, safety Justin Barron, 16 tackles, 11 solo, 1 pass defensed, 1 interception, 2 forced fumbles. These guys are, not only are they tackling well in space, but they get after the football. They're plus 4 in turnover margin with 4 interceptions and 7 forced fumbles. That's good for 15th in all of FBS football, which is crazy. And finally, special teams kicker Brady Denneberg is 3 of 4 on field goals, got a miss of 40 plus yards, and punter Jack Stonehouse has punted 3 times against Syracuse with a long of 43 yards. So, thoughts?
Ooh, so what I will say is it's Syracuse in the Carrier Dome. And I was a cadet when it happened. I think you may have graduated by then. But the last time Army played in the Carrier Dome, there's a guy by the name of Donovan McNabb as a quarterback. You may have heard of him. And he was pretty doggone good. But it was, even that game was pretty competitive. And I think just because of the in-state rivalry and the lack of travel and the short week for Syracuse, I think Army – kind of has the advantage going in because they got an extra day of practice, you know, after the UTSA game and everything else. And I think this will be another good test. I mean, Syracuse is good. Like, they're legit good. But you also have to look at the teams that they played. Two of the three teams that they played would not be considered powerhouse football teams. And I wouldn't consider Western Michigan a powerhouse either, but they're a solid team. Purdue usually turns it on later in the season. So, of course, if you get Purdue in the first 5 weeks, you're probably going to beat them. You know, week 6 through week 10 is when they start playing spoiler maker and undercutting people's knees. So I don't know if Syracuse is – better, you know, than they are based off of their competition, or are they just executing well? But like, if you hang 65 points, you know that your offense is moving, and you get a shutout, and then you have 2 basically low scoring games and a close one. The close one may have been, like somebody said in the Facebook stats, you know, like, hey, is Syracuse looking ahead to Army? And that's why Purdue is nipping at their heels potentially. I mean, it's an in-state rivalry game. I don't think it has the same gravitas as, you know, Colorado State, but when you're that close, yeah. I mean, like you're fighting for
air time. I think they're looking ahead to Clemson next week is what's being said.
Oh, Clemson? Why? Clemson is Clemsoning. Anyway.
James,
you got rebuttal? I think that's the consensus. But yeah, look, you know, two things. Number one, we already talked about getting beat over the top. You can't do that. Number two, that quarterback will make you pay if you don't have someone spying him. You have to keep him in the pocket. Real. If you can for keep real. Him in the pocket – for if you can keep him in the pocket for a few seconds, you don't even have to get pressure on him. Just make him throw the ball. Don't let him get out and start running, because he might hit a few spectacular throws. You can survive that. You're not going to survive him constantly getting out of the pocket and running for 10, 12 yards a gash. That's not going to work. You have to keep him there. Eventually he'll end up missing some throws and he'll have to get the fourth down and have to punt. Like, take a few throws over letting him out, for sure. You have to do that.
So Greg says he was at that Donovan McNabb game. Greg, were you playing? That's the question. And then we got another user. We don't have the name on here. I don't need shutouts every week, but that UTSA game did not need to be that close in the fourth quarter. If the game is a one score close in the fourth quarter, the opponent doesn't care that they've been out physical for 45 minutes and only possess the ball for 10 minutes. Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that. They have a chance to win. That's true. We know things tend to balance out in the end. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what you're saying, you were wondering if Dan was still there last time Army played in the Dome with Donovan McNabb. I believe Earl Blake was the head coach when Dan was there, so I don't think those two overlapped at all.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think Dan was lame masonry for Mikey Stadium back in 1956.
Greg says he was a strength trainer, so there you go. The strength teamer. I don't know what that means exactly, but anyway. All right. So, my thoughts, Army has a real special teams advantage in this game. That's a little nuts, but yeah, our kicker has been more accurate, knock on wood, and our punter has definitely been punting better than that. So, if they can get off the field and flip the field position, they've made that work before. You know, a couple of years ago, they won the Army Navy game on the strength of better punting. It's a thing that can happen. I'm also really curious to see how Army's offensive line does against Syracuse's, at this point, vaunted rushing defense. They've looked good two games in a row. And, you know, at the start of the season, and definitely after looking at those stats, I would not have said that Syracuse necessarily had a better rushing defense than UTSA heading into the game. And, finally, this, like we said, this is a big game for both teams, but it probably helps that they played Purdue last week, which is a Big Ten opponent, and that they host Clemson next week, which is Clemson. So, Rob, you can say that they're going to Clemson all you want, but you still don't want them to hang 50 points because you're not paying attention. Yeah, I don't think Syracuse will look past Army, but if they're going to, this is how that would happen. And the only thing that would set it up different, the only thing that would set the game up situationally better than this would be if we were playing at Mikey Stadium. And so in the past, our game plan for this is from comments now from the peanut gallery. In the past, our game plan for mobile quarterbacks seems to be just punishing them. They look great until they start to limp. That's fair. What was Mikey like in person? Was this when I was laying bricks?
No. He's talking about Dennis, not the stadium.
No. Greg says, I think Nate Woody needs to bring lots of different looks and blitzing from different spots to keep the quarterbacks off balance. Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
And to caveat on what Greg said, I think it's very important to realize, like, we have probably one of the best secondaries that Army's had in a while. We've had standouts consistently for the last couple of years, but like maturity wise, I think this is the best defensive secondary that we've had in a while. And so it's just, you know, don't put the guys where they're in a position where they have man coverage or in a high safety or something against a super athletic receiver. Unfortunately, there's a lot of those guys on Syracuse. But if you can get to the quarterback, then that changes the calculus on what your coverages look like. But I think, you know, from a defensive backfield standpoint, we all have, you know, cows and firsties back there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, they're very, very senior and they all have a lot of playing time. So I think from that perspective, it's a much better matchup than people think. You know, and again, SP Plus is based off of, you know, explosiveness and returning production. Yeah. So
if you get 3.5 yards per carry, he's going to ding you even if you run 88 offensive plays, which is nuts. It's freaking nuts. Go 6 of 6 on fourth down and he tells you you did a bad job because you got to fourth down. So that's I don't agree. And we'll just leave it there. Final notes. Kickoff is at noon on the ACC network. The line opened at Army plus 13.5. I believe it's plus 14 now. Over under sits at 50.5. I would be scared to take the under. I'll tell you that much. So anyway, it's time for fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Rob.
All right, so Army has three receivers make a catch this week.
Oh, I like that one. I'll take fact. James?
A fact.
Yeah, I've got fact agreement there. James, you want to give us yours?
All right, Army, let's just say one score game.
One score game. I'll take that. I guess I will say fact on that one as well, because if you say anything different, you're being pessimistic. I don't want to be pessimistic. Like, we've seen them keep it to a one-score game.
You don't think Army's going to blow them out?
That'd be amazing. They force four fumbles, and Army gets up like 35-7.
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna play with optimism and say prediction that Army is going to beat them by at least – 8 points. You know, so I'm saying touchdown and a 2-point conversion.
So I will say fact or fiction, Army rushes for at least 3.5 yards per carry. James, I'll let you go first this time.
Fact. I mean, these defensive linemen have not been tested yet. I think they have one defensive lineman with 7 tackles, and that's the most of any defensive lineman. Like, it's like UTSA. Yeah, they've been really good at stopping the run, but they just haven't, their line hasn't been tested against a run heavy offense yet. And they're about to find out. So
Rob.
Yeah, I'm going to go with fact as well. Like, look, the Hog Mollies up front were doing their thing this past week.
They were,
you know, and they've had 2 back-to-back weeks of just the offensive line just punishing the opposing defense. I think that trend continues. I mean, as long as the team can stay healthy, I think the beatings will continue on defensive linemen. I think it's a testament. It shows you how good an offensive line team is doing, or poorly they're doing, if defensive linemen are making tackles, man. Like, we're not supposed to know their name. Those guys are supposed to be soaking up blocks. And yeah, I think they're going to be soaking up blocks this week. So expect to see the linebackers get busy, but that's a good thing, because that means we're getting to the second level.
Awesome, man. And I will also take facts. So that gives us fact agreement. I'll tell you what, if they come out and they really do rush for somewhere between 3.5 and 4.5 yards per carry against another really good rushing defense, at that point, I think you're going to start to see a lot of like national media attention. It's a shame this game is on the ACC network, because even if Army, you know, just keeps it close, but puts up major rushing numbers like that, like, you can have everybody in the world talking about this offense. I think that that's what I saw last week against UTSA. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
I was just going to jump in and say the trend that we've seen so far this season is Service Academy quarterbacks throwing, right? Like, yeah, that's kind of like the underpinning of this season for the Service Academies is coaches are opening up the playbooks, you know, whether it be Navy with their 2 fullback set, Air Force with their quarterback being a lot more mobile and throwing more each game, or the completely revolutionized Army offense. But if you're watching Service Academy football, point blank, the quarterbacks are being a lot more involved. Don't know if I'm 100% sure if I like that trend or not, just because, you know, just because, like, nobody, I don't want to see a 65-58 Army Navy game with like 14 touchdown passes thrown. I want to see some.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But you understand what I'm saying? I want to see some smash mouth football.
Personally, if they can hit 50% of their passes, I don't. I'm sorry. Go ahead, James.
I just want to see an offensive scheme work in the Army-Navy game. Like, I don't want to see this war of attrition going until the fourth quarter. I don't want to see 70 to 65, but I want to see a game plan that's, like, executed that isn't sit around until the fourth quarter and then take risks.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
So we got a comment that says Syracuse defensive line is surprisingly small. I wouldn't be surprised if those midline plays keep hitting in this game. Dude, if those midline plays keep hitting this in this game, it's going to be really, really interesting. So, James, last thing, we talked about Army extending 6 coaches. You want to tell us?
Jeff Munkin through 2027, and then an additional 5, Brian Plotkin, men's soccer, Tracy Chow, women's soccer, Brent Nigro, men's and women's swimming, Michelle Tumalo, women's lacrosse. Army made the tournament for the first time last year. And then Mark West, my classmate's father, continues as the longtime Sprint football coach.
That's awesome. That is essentially all of the really good coaches on post, except wrestling and men's lacrosse. And I definitely don't think the men's lacrosse coach, I don't think Coach A is going anywhere.
No.
I could be wrong. What a disaster that would be. But he's been there for almost 20 years.
The other crazy thing, the other crazy thing is that Brian Plotkin, Tracy Chow, Brent Nigro, and Michelle Tumalo, I believe every single one of them is a Mike Buddy hire. So the only ones
that aren't
Mike Buddy hires are Mark West and Jeff Munkin. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's hit on a lot of those hires. That's a pretty good record. So,
yeah, I would venture a guess, and I don't want to do the research, so I'm not assigning this homework assignment to anyone, but I genuinely think I would venture a guess that this is probably one of the most successful hiring rounds in Service Academy history, maybe in the college football, in the Patriot League for sure, you know.
Yeah. But
to have that consistent performance year in and year out and bringing these teams, you know, up until where people are actually considering, like, oh, you're playing Army? Crap. Like, we got to make sure that we're wired tight or we're going to lose. I mean, I think There's something to be said about, you know, an athletic director that believes in the program, coaches that buy in to the mission is just as important as coaches that want to coach.
Absolutely. So do you like Army football but hate social media? Man, I know I do. Oh, my God. Instead of following us on all of your facey spaces, which is fine if you like that. I mean, I'm on there, too. But go to askforfootball.com/subscribe and get on our mailing list. We send out one email per link with all the links to that week's content. Right now, about 65% to 70% of you are opening that thing every single week. And I would say about 15% of those readers are clicking through to an article, which is freaking amazing. So thank you for that. It's too easy. Like, keep up with Army sports with As for Football. We're just a bunch of fans. We don't even do news. We're just telling you what we think we saw on the show. But, you know, listen, we're trying to be here for you and trying to improve the fan experience. And I think that that's working. So if you like that, get on that mailing list and support us. And you can even join our Patreon if you're really into it. Anybody got a favorite thing this week?
Yes.
I'll just say,
but go ahead, James.
I was going to say, in addition to the mailing list, thanks to all the firsties. I know we're ramping the season back up. So there's a lot of stuff that you get in the firstie club, and you can check that all out on the website. And thanks to the firsties that are still with us.
Well, we're back up to 50 patrons again, which is awesome. Let me tell you, we really have reinvested a lot in the show this year. You know, we're using an AI software to make it sound a little better. There's a few other things, these buttons, which if you see me at a game, we'll give you buttons and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we've done to try to sort of reach out and improve the experience. And we could not do that stuff without the support of our patrons. So thank you very much for that. Rob, favorite thing?
Yeah. So my favorite thing, again, you know, college football, man. Like, it's great. And I will plug the College Football Roundtable. I think we had a really good show again this week. Joe's Blue Falcon of the Week, for those of you guys that don't listen, was Coach Jay Norvell, and he actually had a reenactment on the show. some of his comments after the Colorado State game. But, like, I really enjoy writing and help produce that show. I think it's good. So for those of you guys that are interested in just hitting college football writ large, we get into some pretty interesting discussions. We're always looking for other topics to dive into. But really enjoy working on that show. And I think we finally hit our rhythm and our stride. So it's a good product. So it's not like us waxing philosophical for crazy stuff. We actually have an outline, you know. So but appreciate all you guys that do tune in or listen to it after it drops. But it's definitely awesome experience, and I'll pass it over to you.
Well, because we love college football, and we just don't have time here to talk about, like, the whole world of college football. So we have a whole nother show for that. Anyway, all right. I am on vacation this week, which means I need to get back upstairs to my lovely wife. So with that, I will say, go Army, beat Syracuse.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as Ask for Football brings you more Army football analysis. We'd like to thank our sponsor, FireBarn.com. FireBarn is the world's first online platform for auctions and sales of farm animals. FireBarn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and has extended special discounts to military veterans who want to continue the growth of the small farming industry. Go to buyerbarn.com/military. That's buyerbarn, BYREBARN.com to learn more. Or to get started, email them at info@buyerbarn.com. Thanks again for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.